Welcome to the Nonprofit Exchange Podcast, stories by leaders for leaders to help you raise the bar on your own excellence to release the potential inside of you. Now, here's today's podcast.
Greetings, it's Hugh Ballew. We're back for another episode of the Nonprofit Exchange. Now, you might have heard of this. The Nonprofit Exchange is where you find us, thenonprofitexchange.org. There's 363 episodes. That's this one. Every one of them is priceless. Every one of them will inspire you. And today's episode is no exception. I'm here with my co-host, David Dunworth. He's the chair of the board of Center Vision Leadership Foundation. And my special guest today is Haley Hunt. We're just new acquaintances, but my world is rocked by her and what she's done. So Haley, tell us about, this is the verb kind. And
yes.
Tell us what that is. And then tell us a little bit about who you are and your background and your passion.
Awesome. Well, the verb kind is a nonprofit, and our mission is to give incarcerated youth a second chance through mentoring. And so in layman's terms, we hang out with kids in jail and try to point them in the right direction. You know, we meet them in their darkest moments, in the moments that no one else sees them. And we have groups of volunteer mentors that go in every single week all over Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, soon to be a bunch of other places. And we go in to the walls of a juvenile detention center, and we spend time with these children, and we remind them that there's hope for their future. So I'm assuming if you're walking or whatever, you're like, how do you even get into that? You know, like how do you even get into that? So a little bit of my story is that I was, you know, a long time ago, I was married to a pro athlete. I did the whole pro athlete thing. You know, he was also a pastor's kid. So any pastor's kids out there, it's a huge red flag. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm being funny. Kidding. It's a church joke, y'all. good. We got some laughs. So,
we tried to be quiet.
It's fine. They all understand. I'm just kidding. So I was married and, had my life planned out. I was a singer songwriter, most likely to become famous in high school. You know, I was the one that was gonna make it, you know, I had a record deal very early in my life. And then around 30 years old, my life came crashing down. I went through a divorce. I lost a lot of opportunities. I will say that God saved me from fame. Let's say that God saved me from fame. I had a TV show with pro athletes. It was a ESPN type Barbara Walters thing. And I was the next big thing. And I thought, you know, after going through my divorce and all these other things, God was going to bless me with, you know, what I've always wanted, which was, you know, doing the thing that I feel like I was really good at, which was being on TV or, you know, interviewing people, you know. And, but how many of us know out there that God sometimes has a totally different plan for your life, and it ends up being better than you could have ever imagined, but you can't really imagine it because he does beyond anything you could ever imagine. So I found myself back in my hometown of Orlando, Florida, completely lost, no husband, no kids, no career, nothing. And I was an entrepreneur type mindset. So it just drove me nuts. I lost my purpose. I didn't know. And this lady invited me to jail with her. And she said, hey, you should come to the juvenile detention center with me. I think the kids would love it. And I kind of thought in my head, like, okay, I'll go hang out with some kids. You know, I'm good with kids or whatever. And so the next week I show up at the juvenile detention center, and I had 22 girls in jail uniforms looking at me. And if you could imagine the moment where I'm just like, I hope I don't blow this thing, because the girls are looking at me like, who is this woman that just walked in, you know? And they asked me what I did. And I said, I'm a singer-songwriter, because that was my identity. That was what I lived for my whole life since I was 14. I was going to be a singer-songwriter. And the next question out of their mouth was, of course, okay, well then sing. And I knew at that moment, I better be able to sing, because these girls are going to tear me apart. And I sang, and they loved it. And I grabbed this bag full of goodies, and I started pulling out nail polish and cookies. And I started painting their nails, and I was hearing them tell their stories while there were tears streaming down their face. and they came, you know, they turned from a criminal to a child, to a little girl who's just broken, who needed hope. And at that moment, that night, I realized that there was a need. And so I just started serving every Monday night. And the end of the story is that a year later, the state of Florida came to me and said, whatever you're doing is making such an impact on the behavior of these kids. I started hanging out with the boys. We would bring Chick-fil-A. We would, you know, do fun things every Monday night. And I would bring friends in to guest speak or build a library or teach them something. And the state of Florida said, we need you to duplicate yourself in every county in Florida because of the behavior modification that this has impacted. And so that was, you know, 3 years ago. And I set out on a quest to convince people to come to jail with me. And so we weren't even a 501c3. I was an entrepreneur. I was paying for all of it. And I would drive to different cities all over Florida and meet up with my friends and say, hey, would you come to the jail with me? Like, what? You know, every waitress, every post office worker, every guy that hit on me, I was like, you know, I'm not interested, but do you want to go to jail with me? And guys would just, people just, it would blow their mind. So today we are open in 10 counties in Florida. We are open in Knoxville, Tennessee, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And we have groups of people literally simultaneously every single week on a Monday night go in and impact the lives of these incarcerated youth. And you would not believe the revival, the impact, the shifting of spirit that happens inside the jails of a detention center. So that's what I do. And that's how I got here.
Wow, that is spectacular. My, my. You know, I have a friend who does Christian prison ministry. Only wow. He works with the hardened criminals and brings God to them. He's out of Cleveland area, and his story is pretty remarkable, but your story, my gosh, that's incredible. And I can only imagine that when you, the first time that you went in there and those, you saw those, all those girls and young women giving you the stink eyes and what are you here for type of thing. You weren't there to judge them. And that's, you know, that would be human nature for the most part. And breaking that ice down the way you did it, what a phenomenal story. God Thank bless you. You. That's terrific.
We have, Haley, we have a group of young people watching here. There's 14 of them in a class in Dallas, Texas that are on here. And they're young leaders in the future. And their instructor is there who's a visionary leader who impacts the lives. And we have people of multiple faiths here. So we got Jewish and Muslim and Christian people on the line here. So we're all able to impact people's lives by showing up. And David brought up a really good point. And, you know, he didn't say it exactly, but what I heard in that and what you said was you valued each of those people for who they are and the potential they have. And maybe they didn't have that anywhere else. Is that part of the picture?
1,000%. I think that, you know, one of the biggest impacts of this nonprofit, you know, people, there are a huge group of people that get it, but then there's also another group of our society that don't get it. They're like, why would you reward kids in jail? You know? But what I say is that one, we all deserve jail probably, like, you know, sometime in our life, you know, but also how many of these children are there because of how they grew up? You know, if you grow up in Vail, Colorado or Breckenridge, chances are you're going to learn how to ski. Okay. You're not going to get out of there without learning how to ski. And it's the same situation. Some of these kids have no hope from the beginning. Some of these girls are in situations where they're running away because of things that are happening in their home. And then they're running away, getting in trouble, getting arrested for the trouble. And now they're in jail because of the thing that was in their home. You know what I mean? It's like a big, huge circle cycle. And so the verb kind, which by the way, we're called the verb kind because love is an action. A lot of these kids here, I love you, man. I love you, man. I'll be there for you, man. But when I ask a group of kids, how many of you guys have been betrayed? Every single hand gets raises because they have been betrayed before. You know, everybody's dealing with unforgiveness in their heart. And there are some things in those moments that some of us could only imagine. Some of us could because we've been through it. But my point is that some of these kids need to be seen, and that is the healing part that literally shifts their heart from wanting to try again the next day.
I think there's two sides to this. There, we're in a a culture in the penal system, especially, where there's not restorative justice. It's a different kind of penal system where it's retributive, not restorative.
Yeah.
So talk about, you know, what you're doing is sort of restorative. We're giving people a chance to say, okay, I screwed up. Now I can be better. So there's a different dynamic. Is that clear? And how are you providing that restorative piece to this?
Well, you know, we do it on the inside, and then we also offer kids resources on the outside when they get out. But the thing is, everybody wants to talk about what happens when they get out, but you're never going to catch them on the outside if you don't catch them on the inside. And so one kid, for example, his name is Izakai, and in one of the many detention centers, and he lost his mom when he was 8 years old, and he has gone through a lot in his life. And at the end of the night, I looked at him and I said, Izakai, you know, you could write a book, you could change the world. I said, do you know that? And he goes, no, ma'am, I didn't know that, but now I know. And it, that moment right there with Izakai could have shifted him so much in his brain, you know, that it is a restorative thing. We also have a night where we'll do, like, once every few months, a career night. And we teach the kids how to interview, how to build a resume. But the favorite station is the tie tying, teaching the kids how to tie a tie. So we have these men come in. We try to get as many men as we can that night. And there's that little station where you get to that station and, you know, Hugh and David are going to help you tie a tie. Well, their attitude is, I'm never going to wear a tie. Or they'll be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I don't need to do that because I'll never be important enough to wear a tie. But then you say, hey man, I'll give you a snack if you just participate. The countenance of their face goes from insecure to thinking they are the best guy in the world. Once they learn how to tie that tie, they're walking around the room showing everybody how to tie the tie. And the man teaching him how has impacted him so much because he's never even he's never had a man teach him anything. So those are the kind of things and moments that the Verb Kind is providing for these kids through these amazing mentors that are literally changing the lives of these children that nobody knows about.
You know, some of us think, oh, I'm just one person, I can't make a difference. And I say, you know, it's a good thing that Martin Luther King never thought that.
Amen.
Luther never thought that. It's a good thing, you know, you go right down history where one person made a huge difference. So what's the power within? How do you help them discover what that power is? I'm going to let David ask a question in a second here, but how do you help them discover their hidden potential?
You know, there's a lot of people watching right now that I'll talk to the leaders first, which is that, you know, this wasn't a part of my plan. I'm not a mentor. I didn't study counseling. I studied music. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, but when you are called and you have an opportunity to change lives, do it anyway. You know, there's a lot of reasons why we shouldn't do it. There's a lot of, you know, our time, or we're just too young, or we're too old, or we're too, you know, we don't have enough money, or, you know, whatever it is. Do it anyway. If you have a passion to help somebody, no matter what it is, figure it out and do it. You know, and then your question was, what do we say to those kids? You know, I always tell my story about not making it, you know, and I'm going, my dream's not coming true has created an opportunity for me to be in this room with you right now. Isn't that powerful? So to all the leaders out there, to all the entrepreneurs out there, when the first door doesn't open, keep moving forward, because the right door is going to open. You are going to thank the Lord, okay, or whoever, that none of those doors were open. You know, it's like a bad boyfriend. You're like, none of those worked out. Oh, thank God, because I'm so glad it didn't. It's the same thing. Keep going and do it anyway. Don't let what, you know, you don't have or what you don't know stop you from changing the world.
Wow. So folks that are, if you're coming by the video here, this is The Nonprofit Exchange. You can find the episodes at nonprofitexchange.org. And if you're watching us on the webinar platform right now live, which when you go to The Nonprofit Exchange, it'll give you a chance to sign up so you can be with us live. So if you're watching us on Zoom here, put some questions, put some comments in the chat. So we're watching the chat, and Haley is going to welcome some questions. So David, something's brewing in your brain. What do you think? What do you want to ask? I can see his expression and you're muted.
A couple of things are percolating And one of them is kind of selfish. I live in Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, you're coming to jail with me, honey. Yeah, in Ellis County, baby. You're coming. That's
and
awesome.
And I'll tell you, my brother, who lives not too far from me, substitute teaches. And there are many schools in Pinellas County he won't even go to.
I believe you.
So your program sounds perfect for the juvenile detention system, but wouldn't it be something to bring it to the schools eventually someday too?
Wouldn't that
be incredible? Part of your dream or scope or what have you, but I applaud you for the work that you're doing. That's people would look at it and say, well, that's got to be thankless work. That's got to be tough. Why would you put yourself into that situation? But you can see that you are beaming with pride and satisfaction and the joy that you know you're bringing to those people. And I have to tip my hat to you, my young lady, that it's so good that you're doing that kind of work.
Wow. Well, you're welcome. Can I just say, you know, one of the most powerful things about our nonprofit as well is bridging the gap. You know, a lot of these kids have never encountered someone maybe that looks like you, David, or whatever. You know, we have people that, you know, are like you that have never encountered it. Why would you even encounter a kid, you know, an at-risk youth, whatever? Because, you know, you play tennis and you do your thing and you live in Clearwater. But when you come into a jail and you are bringing a peace offering, you're spending time with them, it changes the entire spirit of the room. You know, they then see you the next week and you said you would come back and then you did what you said. It means something to them, you know? And so what I want to say also is that it's healed so many people. Like, we in our generation are so obsessed with ourselves, you know, like look at Instagram, look at Facebook. It's all about us and how amazing we are and how awesome we are. And then because of all the trauma that we've been through, we have a counselor, we have a psychiatrist, we have all these things, we had to be on medication. We got, oh my gosh, then we got to do yoga and we got to meditate and we got to, oh, because me. And listen, all those things are great. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. All of those things in their place are beautiful. But let me tell you the best way to heal. Go serve somebody. We have people serving on our teams that have been looking for healing in their hearts subconsciously. They didn't come to heal. They've just been healing on this healing journey. And as soon as they start serving our kids and their perspective changes, something happens on the inside of them. And so I just want to encourage you guys as watchers, as entrepreneurs, as leaders, you know, if there's something that you need to heal from, go serve somebody. It's the quickest way. And I also want to say, David, sorry, I'm talking too much, but I also want to say to the people that say, these kids don't deserve a pizza party. Why are you painting their nails? They're in jail. You know what I mean? Well, one, she probably has never had a woman paint her nails before. You know, they've never had a pizza party. You know what I mean? Like, some of these kids come from nothing. And people are like, well, I would rather help sick kids. Well, I just want to say to everybody too, these kids are sick, you know, trauma. Right. They have sickness in their heart from fatherlessness. And so we're helping the fatherless, you know, 90% of our kids are fatherless. You know, they either don't have a father or they're in the foster system. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I get it. I have been working with a small village in Uganda for the last 5.5 years, and I'm going there. So we can't go into jail until I come back. But okay. because I'll be gone for 2 months. But yeah, these kids come from extreme poverty and they're happy because they are alive and they know it. And I'm able to put them in school so that they can learn something. And we just want to do more. And Hugh and I work on a collaboration for this particular project, which is an initiative of Center Vision Leadership Foundation. And we would love to support you in any way that we can as well. So absolutely, I'll go to jail with you.
And Hugh's not getting out of this because we're opening up in Lynchburg very soon. And
all righty then.
Listen, and for everybody in Dallas, we just got asked to open in Fort Worth. So if you guys are interested in helping us too, like, we need people everywhere to help these kids. So
got a group. So let's talk about leadership. You got Bob, Chris, Danny, Ivan, Kathleen, Paola, Ricardo, Rushik. You know, talk about leadership. You just had the idea that, or just happened. Now, what did you do that made it work? And what did you do that you wish you hadn't done? You know, we learn, I call them learning opportunities. Other people call them mistakes, but I call them learning opportunities. So talk a little bit about the good and the bad, and, you know, how can we learn from ourselves?
Well, one, you said in the very beginning that leaders listen. And so, you know, as a mentor or volunteer, that's one of the things that we found, is that being a good listener has been changing lives. But I will tell you, as a leader, and when I started this, I think the passion and just being convinced every week you go in and being excited about the thing that you do is huge. You know, if you're not convinced, nobody else is going to be, you know, and then not listening to the naysayers. These are basic things, but for me, take it from me, that was one of the hardest things for me, is why are you inviting me to a place I don't want to go? You know, like, how do you convince people? But to be able to be so passionate that people are truly convinced to give it a shot has impacted so many lives. And I think as a leader, you just have to believe in the thing that you're doing. A lot of people are really insecure. They're worried too much about what everybody thinks. And as a leader, you can't care.
High five, high five. So we're coming to the end of this, this short piece, and we're going to invite questions from those watching, but let me take people to your website. And okay. It's called, how do we find your website? Theverbkind.com. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And she's very polite. She calls me sir. So
yes, you.
Yes, ma'am. So what do people find when they go there?
So the cool part is, scroll down. You know, there's 60,000 incarcerated youth in America right now, and we are excited. So if you keep scrolling, here are pictures of a lot of our all of our teams from all over: Palm Beach, Orange, Miami, Pinellas. There's our Pinellas team. And literally every kind of person that you could imagine, you guys. Do not underestimate the power of invitation to what you're doing. And then, you know, I have a for-profit called Joy Boy. It's an athletic brand for athletes and youth. And so that's, you know, a really cool thing. But I would love for you to scroll up and click all the way to the right. It says media. You know, we have been so blessed to be on the media. We have literally been on ESPN, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Comcast, Morning in America. We have had so many cool things with the NFL and different media opportunities. Jalen Phillips from the Miami Dolphins was up for NFL Man of the Year this year. And one of the reasons why was because of his, you know, work with the Verbkind. So we were really proud of that. And so if you want to become a mentor or more, you can go there. But yeah, our website is full of really cool stuff. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's very easy, on Facebook and on Twitter. Guess what it is? Come to jail with me.
David, you got an invitation. I'm looking.
You're not kidding. I can hardly wait.
So it's Pinellas County, you're in trouble. So Haley, What do you want to leave people with today? What's a challenge or a thought for people to step up their game and do something similar?
Sometimes in life, the unconventional, the uncomfortable, the inconvenient is the place we're supposed to be. And, you know, America, being Americans, we are convinced that we are supposed to be comfortable all the time. We're supposed to have the white picket fence with the cute little dog and the perfect little family and the la, 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 la. And you know what? That's not true. You know, at not telling my age, but at 39, I didn't think I would be here, you know, being the CEO of this growing nonprofit helping kids in jail. I just didn't. But I will tell you that every single day I wake up full, overflowing with peace in my heart, because I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so just an encouragement that even if it looks unconventional, if you know it's what you're supposed to be doing, who cares? Like, just do the thing. Because if you don't, who's going to do it? You know what I mean? Who's going to do it? If you don't do the thing, who's going to do it?
David, anyway. I told you, David. There it is.
Spectacular. Thank you. Unbelievable. What a treat.
Haley, you challenged us, you've encouraged us, you've inspired us. Thank you for being our guest on the Nonprofit Exchange today.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Exchange.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.